God, our Father, who hast called sinful men and women to speak forth the saving truth of thy holy gospel, help me now, I beseech thee, to be a faithful messenger to the people thou hast committed to my service. Give me honest conviction, clear speech, and a pure intention to thy great glory and the salvation of souls, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Jody was the valedictorian of our high school class. We were a small class of 21 young women, but nonetheless, she was the brightest among us and a tiny blue-eyed beauty in soul and spirit. She was the life of the party, and we were best friends. We were such best friends, we both went off to college from Virginia to the University of Wyoming. Once there, of course, as college students do, we went our separate ways, but from time to time, we'd get together to share old times. We thought high school was old times back then, but I guess it was old times to young 20-year-olds. I've talked about her before, but she's a person who bears repeated sermons. Jody continues to succeed in high school and college, and I continued to be above average in college. I met a handsome guy, and we galloped off into the sunset away from Wyoming and my friend Jody. After the handsome guy and I were no longer married, I found myself on trout streams in the Rocky Mountains, and I thought about my friend Jody and reached out to her. I found her then living in Cody, Wyoming, where she was a successful lawyer, but had just lost her mother to many years of declining health with Alzheimer's. Jody had seemed to be so successful in her life. She had two beautiful daughters, and though estranged from their father and eventually divorced, seemed to keep a healthy relationship with all of those in her community. She came to Texas and was with me through the death of my own mother, and we saw one another regularly over the next decade or so. I knew that Jody had demons. I knew that things had led her astray. She struggled with prescription drug addiction after being prescribed very powerful medication to combat pain after surgery. I knew she struggled with alcohol, which combined with the pain medication could be deadly. She seemed to be winning the battle with her demons. And then, just as Jesus describes in today's gospel, earthquakes came in her life. Famines came in her life. And then on January 3rd, 2014, I received a call from her daughter that on December the 26th, 2013, she had died in her sleep at age 54. It's believed of natural causes. But despite being led astray by the allure of pain-relieving medicine and sometimes alcohol, she returned time and time again to her faith. She was a faithful Episcopalian and was remembered fondly at her own Christ Church Episcopal in Cody, Wyoming. She knew her end would come, and yet it was a birthing of a kind. She is born again in the arms of her own Savior, Jesus Christ. I think of her as one who, while she died young, died in faith, and realizing sometimes we are led astray, but with our God, we are forgiven and welcomed back again and again. So what leads you astray? Is it drugs or alcohol? Or maybe just plain busyness? It need not be a person, as today's lesson suggests, who leads you astray, but rather anything that takes you away from Christ. We live in such a fast-paced world and times, and we find ourselves bombarded with competing interests. To do this and do that and be this and be that. Some of those voices we hear are leading us astray. Even as the news emerged over the weekend of the horrific violence in Paris, that too could lead us astray from Christ. We might all want to crawl into our caves and make the madness in our world end. And yet, we are asked to carry on, to keep going. And, as in our epistle lesson, we're asked to provoke. Wait, provoke? In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, to provoke one another. What a very strange choice of words, as we think the word provoke has a negative connotation. To provoke someone is to bother them, so they're forced to take some action. But here, if you think about it, it actually works. To bother people to love and do good works, do good deeds. To incite or to stimulate one another to love and to do good deeds. How have you provoked someone to love or do good deeds? How would any of us incite someone to love? Well, first, we need to be together, gathered and not separate in our own separate little houses. We need to be in community with one another. We need to encourage one another, and sometimes that requires we take the time to know one another and share our lives just a little. Think about it for a moment. What is it that binds you to your family and friends? It's the history you have with one another. It's the lives you've shared together. And it's no different as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other, and we need to spend time encouraging, provoking, and not neglecting to meet together. The Jesus movement, as our new presiding bishop calls it, is alive and well, but it isn't going to move unless we do it together. And we're all busy, and we're all distracted by the daily goings-on in our own lives, including this horrific and horrible news we've all heard about the deaths of innocents in Paris and abroad. But what remains most important is maintaining our hope and maintaining our joy and sharing the hope and joy with others and not neglecting to meet together. That's us, the church. So who have you provoked and who are you going to provoke? You know who I provoke? I provoke Charlie Menke about nearly everything. I provoke Charlie Menke about the Longhorns too much. And I threaten to bring things like Yoga Eucharist to his beloved St. Bartholomew's. And I provoke him to wear yoga pants, which he still refuses. And I have live turkeys walking around the churchyard. And that's pretty provoking. And most provoking to a cat person, I bring my dog around here, my precious, now you'll see, injured Brownie. But you know what I see when I look out at Charlie and Anne? I see love, a love of this church and a love of this community and a love of God and His Son and Jesus Christ. So let's start provoking each other just a little more. Sorry, Charlie, it's not over. It's not going to stop. Most of you are very good about sharing with someone when you will be gone from the church community. But let's do an even better job of encouraging and provoking our missing community members. They belong right here next to us, just as much as our parade of relatives who I'm excited to report will appear during the holiday season. We would miss them if they're not here. So how can you help others to get back in the habit of coming together in community? That's what happens. We don't come to church and we don't spend time together, and next thing you know, we don't spend time considering our spiritual life, and the next thing you know, we are led astray. Do not be led astray, but rather provoke others to love and serve, and we'll be doing our Father's will. Let's remember this week and every week to provoke and encourage one another. Let us pray for peace in our world, all through throughout history, we've seen violence and death, and all throughout history, we've returned to our faith and our communities. The constant for us is a faith and a love of Jesus Christ. May we each reach out to one another in love and understanding as this very week we bid farewell to one of our own community, one who, while maybe not in our pews, in our wonderful group of ladies on Tuesday, our own Nell Ward. And as we move towards the season of Thanksgiving and then our annual celebration of the birth of our Savior, Christ, on Christmas, so as we come next week to the end of another church year, let's get out there and let's provoke a few people. Amen.